Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
The Specialist Phil and Will are back, and we are recapping episode number 9 of season 3 of The Traders US. We are earlier than usual. It's only 9:41 p.m. The episode dropped at 8:30 tonight. Thank God. I've been running a fever, I think, on and off all day, Will. I've just been like feeling like crap. So here
Phil
I am.
Phil is struggling, and we are blessed with an early drop of The Traders episode that we're coming at you a little early. So if you're late, we apologize. That's on us. But we need to get Phil to bed a reasonable hour so he can recover. He's got a big weekend and
I gotta be healthy. So,
yeah.
I gotta be healthy. And I will say that the fever is gone. Don't worry. I woke up with one this morning. The fever is gone. But at this point, I'm just tired. I'm just exhausted. It's like you fight things off for long enough and you're like, I just want to go to bed. But anyway, we just got an episode. We finally got the Danielle versus Carolyn going on here. And I dropped the YouTube link over here in the chat, in the live chat on the side, because, well, they're bringing the seer into the game. Well, we talked about this. We did a whole podcast about this. I know that that's the end of the episode, but let's start with that.
I don't know if we want to start with that. That's kind of where I'm at is like, I don't know whether I'm more excited that they're actually using like one of these additional roles that we talked about in the off season that I don't even think that it got that many views or that many people watched it. We had fun discussing what roles you could add to this game because there are a lot of social deduction games like this that are board games that have these alternative roles that aren't just faithful trader or like good versus evil. And they have different abilities, different skills, and different win conditions. So I am super pumped to see that. But at the same time, this episode was fantastic. And, you know, we talked last week, you know, 2 weeks ago, Boston Rob goes home. And then last week was kind of a snoozer. It wasn't the most exciting episode. A lot of people were predicting that this season is going to kind of fizzle out. Mm-hmm. This was, to me, maybe the best episode of the season. I thought it was so well, the story was so well told, and that we had the stage set of Danielle versus Carolyn very early on. There really weren't any names being tossed out. I mean, maybe Dolores, you know, Tom mentioning Dolores. That seems to happen every episode. But that it really was this duel throughout the entire episode. And before the challenge, it was like, okay, kind of looks like it's leaning Danielle. We get the challenge, which they did some new things that I'm super excited about. Also, I love this challenge. This might be my favorite challenge the show's ever done. We'll talk about that. But things started skewing where it's leaning more Carolyn. And then Carolyn has this conversation with Dylan and maybe she is, you know, winning some favor back with him. And like, I am always like, people don't listen to me. And maybe that's why she honestly answered that question that way. And the whole episode building up to a really entertaining roundtable where it's trader versus trader. And Phil, it's very fitting because we play these games, Werewolf, Resistance, Mafia, Secret Hitler, whatever game you want to talk about. There often comes an instance, usually towards the end of the game, where you have two people and you have to decide which one of them are you going to kill, or whatever the verb is for every game that you are playing. And this was a perfect example. Now, here it's a little bit different because both of them are traitors. Often one person's innocent, one person is lying. But this was just classic social. You could see the players at the round table really struggling with their decision and who to go for. I think Dylan truly was struggling. We saw Gabby even vote Danielle's way because she didn't know. So I just really loved this episode after a lot of us thought that this season was going to kind of be downhill from Boston Rob's exit.
I think what's really important about why this works so well too is we're down to 8 people. It's so much more digestible of a number. I talk about a lot how the round table I think is like the most boring part of the episode, and a lot of people jump down my throat, especially now that the challenges have had more meaning. There's been more shields. They've definitely mixed up the challenges in a way that have been much more compelling this season. So I've been saying that the round tables, I don't really care for them all that much. And a lot of that has to do with the fact when you have 24 people sitting at a round table, it's hard to keep track of where everybody's mindset is at. And even when you have 18, 17, you're gonna have one or two people are gonna dominate. We had the Nikki vote out in this season where, what was it, 13-1 or something like that? Like, it's an absolute landslide. It's hard to know why everybody voted why they did. This one tonight was great because it starts off right away. There's 8 people left. They kill Sam. I think killing Sam was fine. I think maybe Dylan would have been smarter for Carolyn at this point, but killing Sam is fine. I think it was the right decision to murder and not recruit. Danielle ends up getting her way by the end of the episode anyway, so everything worked out for her. But Sam goes home. We have 8 people, and it's Carolyn versus Danielle. And at the start of this episode, there is a very clear, like, 4-4, 5-3, 5-3, like, either way. It's really close, and you can see that people are on board with it being either of these people. Ivar says it to open the round table tonight. I think it's a woman. I think there are 2 women left as traitors. And he's right in that assumption because they've gotten rid of nothing but male traitors. So now they're going to assume that it's women who are left, and they started with 4, and it all makes sense. This was the worst challenge that could be on the show for Carolyn. If this is not the challenge, Carolyn probably survives this and Danielle probably goes home. But Danielle did a phenomenal job of manipulating Carolyn with the answers to this challenge to set Carolyn up. And Carolyn wanted to be a little bit more heard in that portion. And when she made the mistake of saying, no, I think it's Tom, and it ended up being Tom, and she was one of 2 people who said that, and then she got super defensive when people started saying, no, you were like all in on that. That was the end of her game. This was the worst challenge that Carolyn could have had. And it's the first time we've seen a challenge like this.
Right. I think this cuts both ways because I've always said, man, the challenge is what an opportunity to throw some shade at the traitors, throw some suspicion their way. And it's something you see if anyone's watched The Mole. That's kind of what the challenges are all about. Like, the whole group is trying to win money and one person is secretly sabotaging the group and doesn't want the group to get money. Now, here it's different because they're playing for the same pool, and that mechanic has always felt weird, and that's why these challenges have always felt a little bit off. And so the first time that we are getting a challenge where it could be potentially exposing someone as a traitor or offering any insight that it immediately pins somebody as a traitor who was not on anyone's radar. Like, Dylan even said it, and I believe him. He says, I did not start suspecting Carolyn until today. And that was after the challenge. Like, that's the sole reason that Carolyn goes home here. So maybe we've been asking for these challenges to have meaning or more meaning. And I think the shields are great. We didn't get a shield tonight.
We did not. No, this is the first time.
And maybe this is why we haven't been doing this. And maybe if you offer the faithful too much information, they're able to sniff it out because it is all that they're looking for. I mean, the whole point of this was to keep their ears open. But also, Carolyn did play this pretty poorly. Even in the turret, if Danielle is kind of manipulating you into certain answers, fine. That's like, whatever. I don't think that's what cost her. I think it was her being so vocal about the correct answers.
Yeah.
And that's kind of on Carolyn. I don't know if this was really Danielle's manipulation that was Carolyn's undoing here.
Yeah, I mean, so I think you go either way, but yeah, Carolyn wasn't on anybody's radar, and I don't feel bad for Carolyn that she went out in this way. Like, I think it's totally, you know, I think this challenge is better. You know what? Let the traders have to have a little pressure on them. Carolyn cruised. She was cooking through this whole game. Nobody thought it could be her. The one moment that she had to step up, she couldn't do it. And that's fine. She even said at the round table, after the round table tonight, she said, I shouldn't have went at Danielle as hard as I did. I wasn't ready completely to defend myself. And so we see Carolyn go home in that.
Yeah, but if you're not going after Danielle, where else are you
going? Well, I think what her point more of was she should have let Danielle go after her rather than her going after Danielle, because that was how Danielle spun it so bad. And Danielle had said this to numerous people, I think, including Carolyn, the traders are the ones who get super defensive. And Carolyn got super defensive and aggressive to start off that episode, which is what has been the trait of Bob the Drag Queen and Boston Rob. And that's what Danielle's argument was at the end of the day.
Right. And I think Danielle is just so much better equipped to make this argument. Like, I think you could have switched the facts, like give them the same roles and they've done the same things the whole season. Like, Danielle is just able to make a better argument. And if Carolyn was the one who had like put someone else's picture frame up at the church or started crying at breakfast, and it's like, yo, I mean, that person didn't really die. And if Carolyn had done all these things that we've been giving Danielle grief for, I think Danielle would have been able to identify those things and put that onto Carolyn. Either way, I think Danielle's coming out of this on top when they're going head to head, because she's clearly just was, you know, she's a gamer. She's a Big Brother player. She has more experience doing this. And it is hard for Carolyn sometimes to articulate what she's thinking. We've said this the whole season. What she wants to do is often the right decision. She's thinking tactically. She's thinking strategically. But is she able to articulate these goals and plans to other players? That's usually where she, you know, fails. So it's not surprising that Danielle was able to outperform her in the roundtable.
And in season 44, she had a really strong alliance around her of people who were more willing to take over the parts of the game that she wasn't that good at. And Jam Jam and Carson did that. And I think that's probably why, you know, Carolyn, if this situation occurred on season 44 of Survivor, she would have had a Jam Jam to kind of, hey, Carolyn, let's do it this way. And that would have calmed her down. She didn't have anybody on her side after Boston Rob went out.
Right. And yes, I think it's interesting this season that we had four traders and it was just two pair of traders going after each other.
Yeah.
Like we really didn't see the traders work together at all this season. It feels like they kind of,
and now we will with Brittany and Danielle. This is the right move from Danielle, right? I mean, because also there hasn't been a Big Brother player who's been picked. They think it's a woman. If you're Danielle, you want to win it with Brittany, but at the same time, you could spin this on Brittany, and then you look absolutely clear.
Yes, but I don't. I mean, we even heard it from Brittany herself. Like, is it Danielle? That would be way too obvious if she picked me. And I think the other players have to suspect that there's going to be some level of recruitment. They don't know how many traders started in the game. So whether there's a recruitment after Danielle's banishment or a recruitment after Rob's banishment, they are definitely at this point saying, okay, there are likely two traders in the game. And they've been saying they're women. I almost think you pick like Dylan here. And I know that might sound crazy since he is a man, and like you're not able to then, if it does turn on a woman that isn't you, you're not able to offer up that woman blood like you just gave up Carolyn. I think you can argue your way out of saying it's definitely a woman up there. Like I know Ivar said that to start the round table, but look, if you start with three traitors, which I think we've started with every season of this show, and last season they only started with two and they actually recruited the third and production didn't even have control, I think you can rely or plausibly say that there were two men and there was one woman in there, and that was Bob the Drag Queen, Rob, Carolyn. Those were your traitors. Now there's probably one or two people up there, but we cannot identify the gender. I think you can argue your way out of that. I don't know what the counter argument would be other than that, like, the first two traitors they got happened to be men, but I think you can spin that story. And then Dylan, I think, has the most like sway with the group, that if you are able to get Dylan on your side, and to me, this was a surprise that that Danielle and Dylan had been so close. We hadn't seen much of this relationship, but it seemed to be. I mean, did that catch you off guard, Phil, a little bit, that like Danielle was Dylan's rock ride or die this whole season.
Yeah, I mean,
to me as a little bit of a surprise. I mean, I knew they had somewhat of a relationship.
It feels like for so much of this, like Danielle has only been talking about Brittany, and wanting to go at Carolyn. Like that seems to be the only things we've really gotten from Danielle. So yeah, I was surprised by the Dylan thing. I didn't feel like Dylan was doing any really like cross gender alliances at all. It felt like Dylan was in with Boston Rob, and then he was kind of like, I didn't feel like he was as close with Carolyn either. Like, yeah, he might have like had some good talks with Carolyn, but didn't we have the scene last week where they were in the room and like Carolyn and Danielle were both like freaked out by this when they came out of that room? Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. I guess that's what's tough though, right? Like when you're seeing so much of this from the point of view of the traitors trying to play defense and the faithfuls trying to play offense, you might not get the relationships that aren't already built in before the show began.
Right. But I don't think this was like a pre-show relationship.
No, no, no. That's what I'm saying. No, I'm saying like Brittany and Danielle is an easy one for
Editors. Okay. Right. They can just like identify, yeah. Oh, they've been on the same show. They know.
Yeah, it makes it easy. It does. Yeah. It makes it easy. They have a history together and that's why they're able to do this. So I think that makes a lot of sense.
But I do think recruiting Dylan could be the move because then you're close with him already. And then you two, you can use Dylan's power to banish other people up until the end. And that's what you do. I think if, since you're recruiting Brittany, you are both fulfilling the same demographics in terms of like, you're both women, you're both game players from Big Brother. Yeah. So like you check the same boxes, and those are actually bad boxes to have right now. Like on this show, if you are a gamer, it's kind of a negative. I know we've seen, you know, some Bravo stars be traders, but more often than not, they're picking people from the gamier shows.
Yeah.
And so now it's like, okay, if they think it's a Big Brother player woman, now it's like, okay, one of two, you're a 50-50 shot. And now, okay, now they come after you, you lose, you die. Okay. If they come after Brittany, now you've lost someone that you can use to help sway votes. Where if like Dylan's with you, not only can he help you sway votes, but he can turn people away from this theory that like it's a woman or that it's a Big Brother player or a gamer of some kind. And I just think the heat is going to be on. I don't see, like, there's no world in which Danielle and Brittany are both getting to the end of this game together.
That's how I feel.
Like, there's no way. You don't have a chance of doing that. So pick somebody who you think you can actually get to the end with. Because I think, what do you think? Do you think getting to the end as a sole trader at this point is maybe the move? Like, you pick someone like Gabby, offer up her blood, and then get to the end. Like, I don't know if that works.
I don't know what the best move is at this point. I mean, the one thing that we did get a look into finally, which was nice, is we now know that up until final seven, there will always be two traders. So that's something that will definitely help, I think, future seasons, like season four. They know that that'll be the case. So we did get that clarification tonight where Alan came into the room and said the rules of the trader state, you have to recruit, but this will be the last time you can recruit. So now people will know that going into future seasons, which will probably help people because it doesn't seem like these are rules that maybe everybody knows. I personally think that she made the right move. I think I would go Brittany because I would try to find the same demographic as me. I would try to find the exact same person as me to go out there. And Danielle is acting like she wants to play with her. But like, look, if Brittany goes and Brittany gets pulled from this game, like if she gets vanished at the round table, you're now saying, well, there goes the woman who was in the Big Brother group. Why would it be me? They didn't have both of us. You really think me and Brittany were playing together the entire time? That's crazy. I think that's an easy argument.
Yes. I think if your goal is to bring in Brittany and get her banished, I'm with you. That is not going to be Danielle's goal from what I've seen.
Yeah.
It seems like they are actually very tight. They have an emotional bond. And she, I think, as much said it, she wants to bring in Brittany and go to the end with her. And I think that ends in failure. Like that is not going to happen. And so if her goal was to bring in Brittany and then accuse her of being a traitor right away and having her banished, then yes, I am with you. That is absolutely the right decision. So I think it can be a good move or a bad move, depending on what you're doing with the person you're bringing in. And I think it's a bad move here because I know Danielle's intentions are not to do what you're saying.
Yeah, no, that's a fact. That's a fact. And I think Danielle's in a tough spot here either way, right? Like people are looking at you. We had Gabby say, do you think that this was a trader on trader argument? This was exactly like what happened. And Tom says, I buy it. So now if you get Tom, Dylan, Ivar all to say that, and then Gabby's on board, well, now you have four people. You can't just do a women's thing taking out one of the men, because with the recruitment, there is no murder on this night. So everybody survives the night into the next day, and it's a recruitment instead.
Wait, I thought Alan says they do get to murder here. That's what he said.
They get
to, yeah, you recruit someone and then you get together and murder. So it's not going to be a
fast.
It's
how many episodes are left?
I think we maybe have the finale next week. Or maybe there's two more episodes.
Yeah, so maybe it'll be when we're in LA. Well, when I'm in LA, you're always in LA.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. What I still think Dylan's the move. Because if Heat's on your name, I honestly, she might be drawing dead here anyway. Like, this might be this battle with Carolyn. This battle with Carolyn is like giving too much of Boston Rob vibes, where it's like she was too confident.
Yeah.
Like, and how could you be confident in Carolyn being a traitor? Like, that's kind of a bad look.
And like, look, I never watched any of Danielle's other seasons. And maybe this is because I know that she's a traitor, so I know that she is lying to everybody out there. But her reaction seems so over the top and insincere. It's insane.
She was like shaking and had her hands over her ears like she was in a horror movie.
The fake tears are so excessive. It's so much. And like, if you've played with her, I don't know if this is how she's always been. Like, I have no idea. But to me, sitting there where I'm sitting, I would be like, okay, like, what is she doing? Why is she acting like this? Like, this doesn't make any sense to me. And I would want to remove her. Like, it's so like, oh, I'm looking for my big part in the next movie. Like, what are we doing? I don't buy any of it.
It's over the top.
Yeah.
It's definitely over the top.
So that's a big problem for me, but yeah.
I don't know. There's only two episodes left. I mean, this episode was so good, like I said. And where do you want to jump to? We also obviously have the Seer conversation, which might take up most of the
Jesse actually explains the Seer for us.
Do we want to do that? Do we want to do that right now? Let's move there. Seer talk.
So Jesse says, a person who wins the Seer, so you win the Seer, I guess, almost like winning a shield in a challenge, and the person they choose have a face-to-face. And who has the Seer gets a letter if the person is a traitor. That's what they did in the UK.
Wait, explain. The person they choose have a face-to-face, and who has the Seer gets a letter if the person is a traitor. Okay. So maybe we can review what the Seer does in Werewolf. And I think, see, I was thinking this would actually be something pretty different than what the Seer does in Werewolf. That's actually more similar. But the Seer gets to pick two random cards. This is while everyone's eyes are closed, and then pick them up and then look at their identities and then put them back down face down. It's completely quiet. Nobody knows who
or you look at two from the middle. Isn't
that is what it is. Yeah. You can pick one person or you look at two in the middle. I forget about the middle card sometime. But I don't know if that makes sense here, because isn't this kind of broken for TV or for the traders in that? And let's say we do this as Jesse is describing it. Like, if I win the Seer role and I think, okay, Phil, I think I want to know what your role is. We stand face to face and then I get a letter and it says Phil's a traitor. Then do I just tell everybody, hey guys, like, Phil's a traitor. I found out because I won.
Well, I guess that's the thing, right? Like, do they find out? Does the Seer get announced to everybody? Because if the Seer's not known, that's what works in Werewolf, right? Is that you don't know what roles everybody is. So if you don't know who the Seer is, it would work here. But if everybody knows who the Seer is and I say, yeah, I'm going to pick Will, I go meet face to face with Will and I come back and I'm like, hey guys, like, Will's a traitor. Like,
I'm
right.
It has, and there's always the chance, well, what if the traitor won the Seer role, pick someone who isn't a traitor and now is doing this? Sure, you could make that argument, but then if you're the traitor, you kind of don't want to win this, because then you have to pick someone who isn't a traitor, and then you're going to confirm to everybody either. You could lie and say they are, but then if you lie and that person gets banished, then you were clearly lying about your powers of being a seer, and the target is completely on you. And if you pick someone and they're faithful and you just tell everyone, yeah, I picked them, they're faithful, you're kind of just removing someone that could ever be suspicious as a trader other than you or your fellow trader. Like, you're taking someone out of the very small group that could be a trader. So I don't know if that, I'm curious how it played out in the UK version. When I first saw this promo tonight after the episode, my first thinking, of course, we're at the point in the game, we're getting kind of close enough to the end where they could pull this off. In Resistance, there is a version of the game called Avalon, or it's, I mean, you can play this game a number of different ways. Basically, it's Resistance, and it's called Avalon, and there is a role called Merlin, I believe. And Merlin is a role where they are, let's just for traders term's sake, they are a member of the faithful team. They are a good guy, but they know the roles of the traders. So let's say someone wins this. They'd have to do it. It would have to be anonymous. So let's say, Phil, you win this power. No one knows it's you. You get to learn that both Brittany and Danielle are traders. Then how it works is if you murder both traders and get rid of them, if they can guess which one of out of like the five faithful left was the seer, then they would actually win the game. That's how that works. And I don't know if that works for TV, because once you murder the trade, or once you banish the traders, they should just, that should be a loss.
Yeah, they should be done. Yeah.
So I'm like curious if like, but that's far more interesting to me.
Yeah. And Jesse says here that two people go to war, but it's announced to everyone who had the seer. I mean, that it seems crazy, because like, if you're the seer, aren't you just going to say like, hey, I picked this person and they were a traitor, or I picked this person and they weren't a traitor, so let's look our attention at somebody else. Like, I don't feel like there's like, I feel like it's almost like a cheat code, especially this late in the game, especially if there's going to be a murder. We're talking final six.
Right. And because there are so few people left, it's like your chances of getting a hit on a traitor, like let's say Dylan wins this, and what, there are going to be six people left?
Yeah, because total? They are doing a murder. So they're Dylan get murdered, right? Like, I don't think there's really any way Dylan survives.
Yeah, he probably does get murdered. Yeah. So let's say like Ivar wins this. He's now selecting one out of five other people, and two of them are traitors. So that's a 40% hit rate.
Yeah.
Feels pretty high for just completely outing a traitor. So like, I'm excited that they're mixing up a role like this. I'm just confused on the mechanics of like how to make this one. Cause I don't know if this is one that we, when we went through potential werewolf roles, I don't think this was one that we loved, because it was like, if you know who a traitor is, it kind of is game breaking in a way. I'm curious to what we said on that.
Yeah. We'll have to go back and watch that video.
I doubt anybody remembers, but if you're listening to this now, we did go through probably, there's like a dozen different roles that you can.
We went through Dreamwolf. We went through all of it.
Dreamwolf is the best. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, I put the link in the chat earlier. So it's like the second comment in the chat, if you want to check that out. I think that was a good video. We did that in the off season here. I mean, we'll see how it works out. I am just grateful. Like, and I've said this a lot, and we've said this a lot. The Traders has really, 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 really elevated itself this season. Even if like, look, you can't help a boot order. A boot order is going to be what a boot order is going to be. But the challenges are way better. The shield element is so much better. And the fact that they started with four traders, I think, was a better move than starting with three. And now they're trying to introduce other roles. They are trying to keep this game as interesting as they possibly can. And this is significantly better than season one and season two. Like, I wasn't I watched season one right before we podcasted season two. And like, season two is okay to me. Like, I don't know. Like, yeah, was it fun to watch Parvati walk around and do whatever? Yeah, like, sure. But it really just didn't matter. Like, I don't know. This season has been significantly better, and I'm happy to see the changes that they're making, because I think it's going to make the show even better in the future. And I know, like, I read a lot over on like social media and stuff where people are like, the people who are looking at this game as a strategy-based game are the ones who are frustrated by this game. And, you know, you just have to kind of almost watch this like it's a Bravo show sometimes. But I think they're finding a way to bridge that gap much better than they did in the first two seasons. And that's huge.
Yes. And I think the show works because it takes like the best parts of both worlds. Like, there is a lot of strategy and thought. There are a lot of decision points in this game. Like every time the traders go to the turret, they have a decision. Who should they murder? That is completely game. That's completely strategic. And then you have the round table, which is a lot of bickering and finger pointing and fights that, hey, is probably more Bravo, or even them just kind of dressing up in these kooky outfits and walking around the castle, whispering and getting into arguments, or, and you know,
Kate the whole Harvey tonight was pure Bravo. Like they did not.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think they can just retire having guest hosts.
The cameos are terrible.
Yeah, they're pretty bad. I will say, though, Phil, I agree with you on everything you said. I think the Traders has elevated itself this season. This challenge, I loved. Like, not only the part about let's actually have some influence from the Traders on whether they get money, and then it's on them to hide themselves appropriately to cover their tracks, but also they want to get enough money. Like, I like that whole dynamic, and I like that we're giving the faithful something that they can tangibly like grab onto during one of these missions, because usually it's like, oh man, do they want a shield or not? Well, I mean, if you're faithful, you want a shield, and if you're a traitor, you also want a shield, because if you didn't want a shield, that would make you look like a traitor. So like the shields are great for what they can do for the votes and the strategy, and especially when they're anonymous, when it's not known to the group who has them. I love that. But at the end of the day, you're not really learning that much information about someone's identity based on whether they want a shield or not, because like of what I just said. So yeah,
there almost needs to be a way at the round table to protect in some way, shape, or form.
I thought that's where we were somewhat going in the preview before I saw the term seer. I thought, hey, maybe you'd get immunity for both. This challenge, just like aesthetically, I thought was really cool. And so many challenges in reality TV have done like a giant chess board in some way. And usually it's just a big set piece and kind of gimmicky. And not that this wasn't, but man, that giant traitor piece moving around to people, I thought that was so cool. I love the giant chess pieces with the animals, the snake, the wolf, the mouse, the whatever other ones there were. Yeah. Just the production value, where you don't have the strongest people left on this show. You aren't doing like ropes course style, like bungee jumping or anything extreme, or there's no fire, there's no explosions. To just take a chessboard and build some really cool props, mix it with a really clever game mechanic that outs the traders and makes them actually sweat a little bit. This huge traitor piece. I don't know how they mechanically did that, having it turn and looking at people and then running into the person.
I know, like, who's like, operating?
I really, really want to give credit to this challenge, because it, I think so far it really is my favorite challenge the show has ever done. So
it was very Harry Potter too, right? Like it had that Harry Potter feel to it with the giant chess pieces when they're playing to get through. What is that, in the Chamber of Secrets? I think.
I am very unfamiliar with Harry Potter references.
Well, I think that's the traders kind of understanding their audience too. It's a little bit nerdier of an audience. It's a little bit
more... I am full nerd on a lot of things, but Harry Potter is not one of the franchises that I've like fell in love
with. Way to be supportive, Will.
Right. I've seen the first two movies. It's about
that's
it. All.
That's it. Then you just fell off after that. You said, screw it.
I think I read the first book, but I just like... It didn't grab me. I was always more into a series of unfortunate events. Like I read the first Harry Potter book and I was like, I don't really get the hype. Like all the fantasy stuff I've never really liked. And then a series of unfortunate events was like way more, it's still fantastical, but it's not magic or wizardry or sci-fi. It's like very just realism. Like it can happen, things that can somehow happen. It is a children's book, or you know, young adult book, but I love
it. Was the first movie, Will, so we should have both known.
Well, I've seen the first movie. I can see the visual. I've seen the first two movies, so either one, I've seen it, and I know what you're saying. And they're like, yeah, but they're moving slowly and they're kind of like scary in a little way because they're turning, and it's like they have like consciousness, which is kind of creepy when an animate object suddenly gains consciousness. So I love this challenge. Go the traders. And I love this episode. I really thought that this was like, I was not expecting this. I really thought we were heading towards kind of a womp.
You had texted me that earlier today. You were expecting it full on. And like, honestly, I mean, look, we were killing it in terms of views over here on the Traders, and Boston Rob left and like our numbers dropped significantly. So it's kind of seems like maybe that's how a lot of people felt. But if you jumped off after Boston Rob left and you're like, oh, what should we do? I'm just going to go listen to Phil and Will talk because I like hearing them talk while I fall asleep. Watch this. This episode was great. It really was great. And it sets up for a really interesting dynamic for the final two episodes. Like, I'm excited to see how that's going to shake out.
Yeah. Should we move into forecasting what we envision for the next two episodes?
Can I get negative for a second? Can I do this?
No. Everyone loves when we're negative.
I need to get negative. No, I need to get negative about something serious real quick, because I feel like many podcasts are going to gloss over this because they just like love everybody who's involved in these shows and they probably don't want to hurt feelings and stuff. But I'm going to say this as a shout out to Carolyn from the Survivor community. Look, Carolyn goes home. All the survivors are out. I'm not sour grapes about that. You compare somebody to Forrest Gump, you are making a very, very, very blatant statement there. And I don't like that at all. And Carolyn, Danielle said to Carolyn, you Forrest Gump a lot. That's a yikes statement, in my opinion. If you are saying Forrest Gump, Will, you're Forrest Gump, you are saying something very specific there without saying a specific word. That's bad. That's rough. And I don't like that. And Carolyn, you keep being you and don't go to that level, because that was super low from Danielle. I don't care what anybody says. That's super low.
I hear you. To play devil's advocate, Danielle knows that Carolyn is a traitor. So she's like, it's not like she can take this shot and miss, because if you miss, then it's like you're not even playing a role, which is like worse. You get what I mean? Like, she knows.
No. Here's my thing. Knows she I don't has, mind that she goes after Carolyn. Yeah, now.
No, no. She.
You do not say Forrest Gump in this situation.
Yeah, no, it's not good to say. I think honestly, this could have been a good argument from Carolyn to be like, well, Danielle, oh, paints a target on her too, because it works that, I mean, it kind of actually, if anyone would really think too hard about it, it kind of paints Danielle as more of a traitor, because you kind of only say that if you know you're right about her being a traitor, about Carolyn being a traitor, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, but my whole thing is like, whatever the argument is, whatever her reason, to say you play Forrest Gump a lot, well, what are you trying to say with that? You're saying she plays dumb? Because Forrest Gump's not playing dumb. Like, Forrest Gump has like a 68 IQ. That's messed up. You don't say that.
Right.
I'm sorry. And I'm defending Carolyn here, because I thought that was super disgusting. And I feel like people
have
walked over it. I don't care.
I do think that's what she's saying. You're playing dumb. You're playing Forrest Gump. Not that you are playing as Forrest Gump is, like, in terms of that Forrest Gump was pretending to be dumb. You're just pretending to be dumb. I think she's using
Forrest There's another Gump. Word. There's another word for this that a lot of people associate with Forrest Gump, which I think is why this is disgusting to me.
Right. Forrest Gump is I think she's using it as a synonym for dumb in this context. Also, Forrest Gump, I've seen probably two or three times. Not a movie I'm very well versed in either. I don't know. Is he just dumb, or is there like...
Yeah, he has like an IQ of 68. Yes, like that's.
But is there more to it than that?
No, that's like the whole thing. But he's like a kind man who goes through all these. He just happens to be an important part of so many moments throughout United States history.
No, I know those parts.
Yeah, the Forrest Gump situation. You should only compare somebody to Forrest Gump if they're running a lot. That's pretty much where I draw the line there. So I just wanted to say that I feel like most of the podcasts are going to gloss over on it.
Well, you played Forrest Gump in college.
I did. There you go. See, that's okay.
Because you were running a lot.
But yeah, that was pretty. That was.
Are you
pretty,
sure that's not what Danielle meant?
Nah, that was pretty yikes, man. That was pretty yikes.
No, I did. I did. My ears perked up at that one, and I almost thought that outed Danielle a little bit.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it ends up moving forward. I just needed to make sure I addressed that, and I don't know how Carolyn took it. I don't know what Carolyn's reaction, because obviously she ended up being a traitor, so it is what it is. But future reference to people who go on TV, like if Tom Sandoval had called Carolyn, said you play Forrest Gump a lot, Tom Sandoval would be executed in the public square. So that's just insane to me that she just said this on TV, that it aired. And like, there's a very clear inclination of what she is saying with that, because you could say, well, she's calling her dumb. She said she was dumb before that. The word dumb was used in the sentence before calling her Forrest Gump. So that's all I'm saying. Let's jump over to forecasting so that we don't lose all of our viewers here who are like, whatever. But I have to say it. I have to say it. It's crazy. It's crazy. Goomba says maybe Carolyn likes chocolates. Maybe. Maybe.
Bubba Gump shrimp.
Bubba Gump shrimp. But so what? I feel like a trader is going to win at this point. Am I wrong? Like, I feel like Danielle, I feel like Brittany's going to win. That's where I'm going. But then again,
Most likely. Like, if we are going to make the odds right now, if it's like Brittany winning as a trader, I think it's like minus 130.
Yeah.
And then a faithful winning is like probably like plus 110. Brittany and Danielle both winning as traders is probably like plus 300, maybe. Those are kind of your three options. I don't know if those odds all even out as a sports book would. Yeah. I don't know if there's money to be made there. But, like, that's where I would put it. Like, Danielle and Brittany both aren't winning. Danielle winning solely as a trader, that's probably plus 600.
Like, yeah, I don't see Danielle outliving Brittany. I think Dylan's going to be murdered. And then I think Danielle is going to go at the next round table. I really do. Maybe Dolores, if somehow Tom ends up grabbing this seer thing. And
well, right. Or it's like, if you are Brittany and Danielle and they are working together, so you just want to grab onto any suspicion on anyone. It might be, hey, Tom, I'm actually with you. Let's get Dolores. Or you say, Dolores, you know what? Maybe it's Tom actually has been the traitor the whole time because they just keep voting for each other. It's kind of funny. And yeah, that could work. They just go after Tom and Dolores.
Yeah.
But eventually, like, I just don't see how Danielle is going to be there at the Circle of Truth.
They also had like the confessional from Ivar today saying, I've had a feeling it was Danielle for a little bit. Like, I feel like they're setting up Danielle's downfall at some point.
Yes, because it seemed like it was going that way up until the challenge, that she was the number one priority for the faithful, that's their target. And then Carolyn painted such a big target on her back during that challenge that they had to go Carolyn. They were right. And the way that Carolyn goes home here is that Danielle is so sure it's Carolyn, which they've already seen happen with two traders, and that Danielle is already top of mind. How is Danielle still in this game?
Like, I remember, a lot of people were shocked that Danielle was a trader when they were finding out that she was a trader. But I do feel like at this part, Ivar, Gabby, Dylan are on to her. It's just a matter of can they get, if Dylan goes home, can Ivar and Gabby convince Dolores and Tom?
Right. I don't know if Dolores and Tom are ever going to vote for anyone else other than each other until one of them leaves. I mean, this was a huge vote tonight. Like, Dolores and Tom should not be throwing their vote like this.
I mean, because the problem is if you get to the final ceremony thing and it's five people and it's Tom, Dolores, Ivar, Brittany, and Danielle. Brittany and Danielle are going to win together.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, because if Dylan gets murdered here and then Gabby gets killed at the next round table, Brittany and Danielle are going to win together.
I wonder if Brittany, is there a world where Brittany gets, you know, obviously she's going to accept this recruit. Also weird. They called it a seduction at the top of the episode and then a recruitment at the end of the episode. Why are we mixing up the terminology here? I know that one of them is an ultimatum and that one of them isn't, but I don't think we've ever made a distinction between a seduction and a recruitment. I think there's it's always been called a recruitment on this show, and then it suddenly was called a seduction. And at the end, they switched back to recruitment. I don't know. That was a little bit confusing. And I understand that one of them is an ultimatum, but that's the distinction you called.
Yeah, because this is an ultimatum, right? Like, she doesn't have a choice but to accept this.
Right. So she's going to accept it.
Yeah, she doesn't have a choice.
Well, it's the an ultimatum is always a choice. You can accept it or you get murdered.
Or you get murdered. Yeah, exactly. That's a good point.
She might be like, you know what? I'm over this game. Or she breaks down in tears and says, I can't believe it's Danielle. I'll never forgive her. I don't want to work with her. And she's like, just murder me.
Yeah, they have to murder Dylan, though. If they murder Dylan, I think this is over. I think the traitors win.
I think the traitor team wins.
Yeah.
I still don't think the odds are high for Danielle to get there.
Yeah. Well, it comes down to, though, at the end, like if they go to that final thing and there's five people, if Brittany and Danielle are two of them, all three of the other people need to team up on Danielle before Brittany or Danielle convince them to throw somebody else out.
Yeah, I guess the question then becomes, Phil, I think I know the answer. Are Dolores and Tom, do they actually think the other one is a traitor, or are they just like, you know what? Is this just like an FU every night where it's like, you know what? I don't like you and I know you don't like me. And they've agreed they don't like each other. And it's just like, I'm going to take this shot at you whenever I can.
Yeah.
And if we get down to the circle of truth, they might be like, you know what? We're both obviously faithful. Like, let's go after Brittany or Danielle. Let's put our differences aside. Maybe that's the final storyline of the season. It's that Dolores and Tom can get together to banish a traitor.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, perhaps.
We have anything left, or can I go to bed?
I think that about covers it. I mean, this is a shorter podcast just because I think, hey, we're very positive. We often say when we're positive, it doesn't take as long to explain our thoughts. You have to go to bed. There's also only like seven people left in the game. We don't feel that there's that big of decisions remaining. Like, obviously, Brittany's going to accept the recruitment. More than likely, they're going to kill Dylan. So, like, what left is there to predict? We've talked through our seer options. I'm excited to see what that becomes. And I think we covered it, Bill. You're sick. We got a big week ahead. Let's wrap this up.
Let's call it. All right. Well, XX, since you're in here, email me back. I owe you a prize for winning the Power Rankings game last year. Otherwise, the next podcast I'm doing will be on Tuesday. I'll be doing Australian Survivor with McKenna. We'll be doing our week two recap. And then on Wednesday during the day, I'll be doing Deal or No Deal Island with Blake. And then Wednesday night, I'll also be live with Blake, right? Well, you had unforeseen circumstances for Wednesday night's premiere, correct?
Yes, it is my father's birthday, and that I had no idea it would line up on a Wednesday, especially because it's February. I feel like we get a lot of Survivor premieres in March, so that's unfortunate. But I'll be around, maybe do an after show or something on that Thursday.
Yeah, so we'll figure that out. Yeah, maybe we reverse you and Blake, and you and I do
Digging Deeper. Everyone knows that's the Digging Deeper you really want to
do. Yeah, that's the episode.
That's Digging Deeper on Thursday. That's the real recap.
I mean, I am into Hell Week next week. Literally, Australian Survivor or Fun Week. I'm doing Oscar predictions Monday, Australian Survivor Tuesday, Deal or No Deal Island Wednesday, Survivor premiere Wednesday, Traitors Thursday, Digging Deeper Thursday, and then all the Patreon stuff. Holy schnikes.
You better get to bed then.
I got to get to bed. All right, everybody. Thank you all for listening. Become a patron, patreon.com/a specialist. AU Survivor Brains vs. Brawn 1 Patreon tomorrow. First episode of that. So check that out. Like this video, subscribe to the channel, and we'll see you later.
See ya.